Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Are we going to talk about something that isn't video games this week? Because I've been talking a lot about video games this week.
Yes, you're fresh off the E3 vacation, I guess, shall we call it?
By the end of it, like, I went into work this morning, and for the record, for the fine folks at home, I had Monday and Tuesday off. I'd take them off. I always watch E3, so I figured I'd just jump in full force. We streamed every conference, including that damned PC one, which, man, I know some great
people. Did you do that one by yourself?
My eyes nearly fell out, and by the midpoint, and God bless Niblet Man, and I'm gonna forget the other person's name. I'm sorry. There's two people there. There's Niblet Man and one other person. I PCs, man. They were so great, and I'm just like, guys, I don't know if I can finish this. And it was about an hour in. They had the CEO of AMD back on to do their fucking commercial. Sorry.
I'm going to have to bleep that somehow.
Yeah. So anyways, it was just really, it was boring and it was terrible. And it was just a terrible way to end it. But it's funny, like on the way, on my tail end of work and heading off for my vacation, my boss asked, so what are you doing on your self-imposed long weekends? Like, and I'm like, well, I could like not tell the truth, or I could just tell them the truth. So, and it doesn't matter. Like, it's like, do I want to admit this? And like, of course I want to admit it. So I said,
I was gonna say, don't you always tell them when you're taking time off for video games and stuff? Like, yeah. This shouldn't be news to them.
It's not. So I said to them, I was like, well, for the podcast, there's E3 is a video game conference. I'm taking the 2 days off, gonna watch them, gonna hang out with some friends, and we're gonna live cast it for the podcast. And we did, we didn't do Bethesda. I took Bethesda off. I watched that by myself. And then we did Microsoft, we did EA, we did Ubisoft, we did Sony. And then the next day we did Nintendo, then we did Square Enix. And then finally I did the PC one by myself. And that PC one was, God bless Day 9. He seems like such a nice guy, but I don't even think God himself could, or herself, could make that thing any better. It was terrible. And gives PC gamers a bad name, you know? It's just unfortunate.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, and I don't know if you know anything about what happened, but it was just like Day 9 at a desk, Letterman style, and he'd bring these guests on. And the first guest, and it was like, he's like, we got a lot of guests, so we just got to do this real quick. But each time a guest would come out, they'd like talk about the game for like 10, 15 minutes, show a quick clip, and then talk about the game for another 5 minutes, and then rinse, repeat. And which is great if you're really interested in all the games they're showing, but it just got really stale and really boring, and every once in a while they'd bring in someone from AMD, because they were sponsoring it, to talk about video cards. Like, literally, there was a 15-minute segment where he's talking about Terawipple Wapple Flops. I don't know what the hell those things are. And he's, like, showing a new video card and talking about VR, and I'm just like, guys, we can't watch this anymore. This is terrible. This is worse than Square Enix's presentation. Like, this is bad. And I know some great PC gamers, but they weren't at that show. They weren't even probably watching it. They were just waiting for the Polygon article the next day, which basically said StarCraft announcement. So.
Which is really what I was super excited about. Like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's the funny thing is that, like, you've got to experience E3 in this condensed format, and I've got the long... I would do this. I was complaining to Ashley, and Ashley's like, well, what are you going to do next year? It's like, I'll probably do the same thing next year. It's like Extra Life. You know, you do it, you get it over with.
You hate it, you complain, you complain, you complain. Yeah. You totally die the next day, and then you plan next year.
Yeah. And, you know, E3's fun. It's just, we'll get into it. I mean, I can certainly share, like, quick bits of my experience doing this, but I in the end of it, I want to thank James and Josh for joining me on several occasions throughout the 2 days, because they were a blast to hang out with and just chat. And eventually it'll all be archived and put online. The first four conferences are up there now, so those folks can find that. They probably already found it on their feed and wondering why there's, like, 8 hours of podcast from the Gamers Inn. It's like, well, this is why, E3, man. It's happening.
Yeah. So I wasn't able to do it because stupid work, and then, well, not stupid other shows, but with all the angry chicken prep and everything else, it wasn't possible to do this time, which is unfortunate, because, I mean, I literally missed all of the E3 stuff, all of it.
Yeah.
So so disappointing. Like, I was able to, like, see Twitter every once in a while and try to kind of catch up. And, you know, when the really big stuff happened, then it was hard to miss, you know, like Fallout 4, my Twitter just went.
Yeah.
So
the big stuff kind of like percolates to the top. But mm-hmm. I feel like there was some little things in there worth grasping onto. And I think I remember who was with me on the PC show. I think it was Seichi. Seichi and Nibbleman. And if I didn't want to let that one slide because I felt bad. You guys stuck it out with me. They probably watched the rest of it. I went to bed. So
did you? Well, yeah, because it was really late last night, wasn't it?
It was like 9. Well, first of all, their stream said 8 p.m. And I promised myself I would make this just about positive stuff. So this is going to be the only negative complaining bit. And then we'll get into the fun stuff, folks. But instead, it would start at 8. And I got there at 8 and nothing was there. Like, it was just a countdown. I'm like, man, that minute countdown clock is sure going slow. Turns out it was an hour. I had to wait. So I'm like, well, I don't want to stop the stream. I'll stream some PC games. Are you sure you
didn't just math wrong?
No, I didn't. Because then I went to Twitter and saw that they clarified saying doors, line up at the doors starts at 5. Or sorry, doors open at 5 if you wanted to go to the event. Oh. And stream starts at 9. And so I just streamed PC games. I played a bit of Besiege and I played a bit of Ori and the Blind Forest, both terribly. And then
you played terribly, or the games are terrible?
Oh, both games are great. I just played terribly, so I don't know. I don't know. But hey, I was preparing everybody. I was letting everybody down in advance for this PC conference, so it was really good. And then finally, it started, and I guess I quit around the hour mark, and. Yeah, the next morning I wake up and I quickly Google PC gaming show. Turns out it went for 2.5 hours.
Wow. Two and a half hours like that?
2.5 hours of just dry couch talk. Like, I don't even think Letterman's an hour, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. how that works. It's a tight knit show. And I totally understand the sit down and talk thing, and a lot of those companies are doing that, like Nintendo and Sony. Both have this like couch setup, but that's spread out over the course of E3, and you can choose to tune in because they have a schedule, right? I want to tune in for this 20-minute discussion about Animal Crossing, Mario Party, card game, you know, because I'm crazy. Oh,
another
like that.
Card game? Damn.
Yeah, I did so many card games. I didn't.
I know. I feel like Hearthstone just totally ruined PCs because now everyone's coming out with the card. Like, there's the Elder Scrolls card game, and mm-hmm. there's an Animal Crossing card game now. Like,
there's a Star Wars one.
Yeah. There's a Star Wars one? Holy crap.
Because, you know, every time, like, me and James are watching these conferences, and it's just like, oh, take a shot. Hearthstone just made another company do something crazy. And you see it all over, and you're probably going to notice tonight, folks, that we've just included, like, select games. And if we miss your favorite game, like, oh, why aren't you going to talk about Animal Crossing, scan a card, amiibo party, $100 later? Nintendo.
We're not going to talk about scan a card, amiibo party?
No, we're not going to talk about things that are... We're not going to talk about negative things. Calm blue ocean. People have been really upset about that Nintendo presentation, and anyways, we'll get to that. Well, why don't we go in order? Are we ready to start?
Let's start with Bethesda. So okay. That was, Fallout 4, obviously, the big mm-hmm. one. Dishonored 2. I still haven't played Dishonored, but I own it on, I think, 2 different platforms.
Oh, it's a great game.
Steam sales.
Steam sales, and didn't you borrow Dishonored from somebody, or was that...
I feel like I got it through PlayStation somehow. Like, it was the free game 1 month, or it was the... I don't know. But I'm pretty sure I have it on both PlayStation and... you know what it might be? That subscription-y thingy that I have that lets me play Fat Princess.
PlayStation... Oh, PS Now.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited for Dishonored 2. Just because it looks really cool, and the trailer that they showed... was from the point of view from a female character. They're actually going to have a female protagonist. You'll be able to choose between the first game's protagonist and not necessarily a new character. I think it's the little girl from the first one, and it takes place 15 years later. So it's kind of a neat concept. And the fact that they're going to display two different sides to the story, one from Corvo's side and one from, I forget her name, I don't know. It's been so long since I played this game, but
yeah, I was gonna say I can't help you here.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I didn't include like the link or anything. We'll just touch on it, but it's a game that's gonna be coming out in 2016. A lot of people are excited, and if you haven't played Dishonored, they also announced a Dishonored Remastered Collection, which seems to be the norm when you delay a game into 2016. All except for no, actually no, that's wrong. All are guilty of that. Microsoft did it too. And Sony did it, obviously, with the Nathan Charted collection. But Nathan Charted. Ah. Just short. That's what they should call it.
And I didn't actually realize, are they doing a remake of Doom? Is that what's happening here?
Oh, man. Doom,
rebooting it. My Twitter, I saw Doom on Twitter, but I just thought people were saying that whatever was happening was like Doom or something, but they're actually redoing it.
they're rebooting Doom, so it's not Doom 4, it's just Doom, and they're going back to the basics of like you are a soldier on Mars battling demons because a portal is opened on Mars. Like, that is the story of Doom, and that's the story of this Doom. And I'm just going to summarize what makes this game so awesome with one simple sentence, and that's, you know, has to do with takedowns.
I love how you say one.
It's not simple.
Sentence,
I shouldn't have said simple.
And then it takes you 5 minutes to get the sentence out.
Because I didn't think far enough ahead. But anyways, you can, when you do enough damage to a guy, they sort of go into this like vulnerable mode, and you can see their skeleton flash. And what that allows you to do is you can target specific parts of their body, push the execute button, and the best execute I saw was you take their foot, tear it off, and shove it in their mouth. And then their head explodes. Game of the year.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. It's very gory. They showed a lot of like chainsaw and shotgun and these executions. And 2016, another 2016 title. The only thing funny enough that's coming out this year is Fallout 4, which is awesome. So excited about that. But that was basically Bethesda. I mean, they announced that Elder Scrolls trading game, if that's something you're into, but
yeah, which we did talk about that on Angry Chicken on Monday. Just very, very quickly, Garrett kind of was like, did you guys see this? Does it not look like Hearthstone exactly? And it was really funny because someone's actually made a YouTube video that's like the Elder Scrolls trailer next to a Hearthstone trailer, because they both do that kind of like tilt shifty thing of their heroes, and like yeah, it was actually pretty bad, because at first I was just kind of watching it and I was like, yeah, I can totally get behind this, such a big Elder Scrolls fan, like yes. And then as soon as he pointed that out, and as soon as I watched it side by side, I'm like, wow, like they haven't even shown like what their actual game looks like or what their cards are going to be or what all that's going to be, but just like their get hyped teaser trailer looks exactly like Hearthstone.
Well, the funny thing is, I think I tweeted multiple times throughout the E3 conference days, like, oh, look, Bethesda just announced, hey, Hearthstone makes money, let's make that, you know? And the Star Wars announcement was the exact same thing, like the tilt shift, the thousands of card collection from your favorite heroes and villains, and it's the same thing. And, you know, you got to capture that market, right? It's hot. It's hot right now.
Yeah,
you know, Blizzard did it with MOBAs. Hot. Like, let's not. We can't point fingers when fingers can just be pointed right back. So,
yeah.
It's all about making a great game, and it's fun to judge. That's sort of what E3 is all about: is judging companies sometimes fiercely more than others. But you know, if it's good, it's good, right? And if it's not, then hey, then we can point the finger, I think.
Yeah, and it's not something I'm going to get into. Like, none of these other card games or anything I'm going to get into. I gave Magic a shot. But really, I love Hearthstone, because it's based on Warcraft. So I can identify with all the characters. I find in Elder Scrolls, as much as there are a lot of other characters, it's so deep fantasy for me that it's just like, it's hard to even know or remember who all the Elder Scrolls characters are, so it's not going to be as impactful to me. It's going to be pretty much the same as Magic, where it's just kind of like, okay, it's a card and it does this, not like, oh my god, I get to play Sylvanas, yay, you know. So I have that whole Warcraft fangirl thing going on, so none of these other card games are going to pull me away from that. So I might give it a shot, but it's not going to be Hearthstone 2.0 for me, that's for sure.
Yeah, That's the main reason that I got into Hearthstone as well. And Heroes of the Storm, for that matter. I mean, it's all about the characters.
There you go. It's all about the lore. So so that's, yeah, everything we pretty much saw from Bethesda. And I've got to say, like, new Elder Scrolls game being a card game also makes me want to vomit in my mouth a little bit, because, like, I want another freaking Skyrim. So get on it. Stop with the card game shit and make me another RPG, please.
Well, you're getting Fallout from that team. The team that made Skyrim is making Fallout 4, and they sort of alternate. And I don't know how big a Fallout fan you are, but that game looks like a lot of fun. You can shoot teddy bears and make people's heads explode. I mean, come on.
Well, then. I'm set.
You're sold.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, anyways, I'm... Fallout 4 is going to be fun. I'm going to play it. Obviously, it's going to be great, but it's not Elder Scrolls. Dang it.
I know.
All right. So Microsoft was next up. We saw Halo 5, which I know you must be excited about.
Microsoft's conference convinced me to buy an Xbox One, but it wasn't like Halo 5 was already that, like, of course I'm
going to
play.
Yeah, Halo you were 5. Going to for Halo anyway. Yeah,
but I think the rest of the conference really sold it on me, and in no particular order. Like, we'll just do the quick hits with this. We don't need to discuss it. But Halo 5, yeah, you're gonna play as Master Chief, you're gonna play as Locke, they're gonna butt heads. I don't know what's happening in that game.
Really games don't. Happen.
Nathan Fillion's in it, and that's all I need for my Halo fun. Gears remaster in August, awesome, I guess. Gears 4 in 2016 at some point. New baddies, new planet, new dude bros, it's gonna be great. But yeah, the two things that convinced me really were ReCore, which is a new game, and these were their words, not mine, from the makers of Metroid Prime. And I'm just, it excites me that I can see a trailer at somebody else's conference that evokes such a franchise that I really did love. So it's really cool to see that, and the game is I don't know if you checked out the trailer,
but it's really cool. It's kind of a cool concept, I guess, but I wasn't nearly as excited as Twitter and the internet was. I kind of watched it and I kind of went meh, you know. It took me, well, I mean, the thing is, everything in comparison to something that we're going to talk about in a minute, just everything else pales in comparison, right? Like, there were two things at this conference that got me really excited. Neither one of those is ReCore, and it might just be like a comparison thing, but man, oh man, I kind of looked at that and went, yeah, that could be fun, but it didn't get me excited the way, say, The Order did when that was first announced, regardless of how that turned out in the end. This just felt really, really meh to me.
Yeah, and it's just a concept, and I think the concept really, it felt like a great game. And well, sorry, I shouldn't say that, because it's not a game. It was literally a CG trailer. But it's exciting, the setting, the characters, the robots, just all that kind of stuff. And we'll get into robots and characters and settings even further on in the show. But it's just exciting to see when Microsoft puts up a game like this and says, hey, this is a flag we're carrying. And it's not often that a indie title like this... It's not often that Microsoft shows an indie title that I get into, because usually Sony's got the big ones, right? Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see Microsoft kind of putting a feather in their hat. And then next up, what truly convinced me was Rise of the Tomb Raider. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to wait for this game. And, you know, combined with Halo 5, I might as well just get an Xbox One this holiday season.
And you'll probably get a really cool bundle. They're going to do a Halo bundle, right? So...
Yeah, probably when you open the tray, it'll be like, it'll say something like, finish the fight or something. I don't know. What does the Master Chief say? You played all those games. I don't know. Cortana. He just yells Cortana every time he touches buttons, maybe. I don't know.
Why did that sound so dirty to me?
I don't know, because obviously the Xbox One is going to be shaped like a giant Master Chief, just laying there like this or something. I don't know.
What button do you push, Ryan?
What's the Kinect? Why is it optional? This is a family show, isn't it?
I don't know.
Anyways, you know, I'm excited for Rise of the Tomb Raider, but did you see any of that coverage at all for Rise of the Tomb Raider? Are you excited about Tomb Raider?
Kind of. I feel like I'm so like this. I'm just like, when it comes to just E3 this year, I'm just like this.
That's fine. Hey,
I did
see
some of the Tomb Raider stuff, but I still haven't finished the first Tomb Raider. I feel like I would be more into it because everyone was just like, oh my God, Tomb Raider is so great. And if I played it at the same time everyone was hyped, I think I would be hyped for the second one. Yeah. But where I didn't, I never finished it. Not saying it was a bad game. I just had other things on my plate. I think at that point I was playing Stick of Truth when I got Tomb Raider. Oh. And again, that was months after everyone else had already finished it. The hype just wasn't there for me. But it was really funny on Twitter. Somebody, I can't even remember who it was, but they were just like, oh my God, this new Tomb Raider game looks so great. They should make a movie out of it.
Oh dear.
It's like, okay, you just won me over.
Nobody tell them that they already made two and they were terrible.
They were okay.
They were terrible. I guess the first one had side boob, but they were pretty bad. The first one was all right. Okay, I'll give you the first one. The second one had a really bad American accent, Daniel Craig, which is kind of weird. Although he's dreamy. But, yeah, Rise of the Tomb Raider, timed exclusive. I would suggest to you, they actually have a lot of sales going on. And one of those sales is a half-price definitive edition of Tomb Raider on the PS4. Might be worth rekindling that fire. That game's fantastic. I have to replay it, actually. But the big one for Microsoft, the big one that a lot of people sort of globbed onto, was the backwards compatibility announcement that Microsoft made.
Yes, so that was the big thing that made me kind of say, oh, wait, hang on, I'm going to be able to play all my Xbox games on an Xbox One. That's huge. Well, I guess 360 games on the Xbox One, because, I mean, that was the big reason I switched over. I'm like, well, if I have to start fresh, I might as well start fresh with a PlayStation instead of going with the Xbox One. PlayStation was more attractive. PlayStation had the order. Mm-hmm. I had all these reasons to go with a PS4, and then Microsoft comes out and says, oh, backwards compatibility. And I'm like, God damn it. Screw you in your stupid face, Microsoft. Why couldn't you have said that from the start, and then I would have just bought you because I have a huge 360 library.
Do you think you'd play them, though? That was always my... there's a few.
We still play Mass Effect. I still have an Xbox Live subscription to play Mass Effect.
When was the last time we played Mass Effect?
Extra Life.
Okay. Well, all right. I can get behind that. And Mass Effect, the Mass Effect trilogy would be on my list of these are games that I want to be able to pop in when... And I don't want to be, blocked off from them because I got to hook up a console and... I have my PS3 sitting to the left, to the right of me, and I know I don't play it. I mean, I put it there because, hey, maybe I'll want to replay Uncharted, but now Sony is giving me the opportunity to do that again with the PS4 collection. But I don't know. I think it's an interesting, it's a good goodwill gesture. And to me, if Nintendo was making that announcement, it'd be like, well, too little too late because the Wii U's on the way out. But with the Xbox One, I feel like it's got a long life ahead of itself. Same with the PS4. So offering this backwards compatibility as a goodwill gesture is really cool. And I think is more rewarding for those because now the Xbox One's a couple years in. It's more of a reward for us people who have that back catalog and less so a selling feature for those who are jumping into gaming for the first time. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone's going out and buying 360 games.
Oh, no, not at all. No, but, not. But mind you, and I mean, I guess I kind of at the same time also have that back catalog of PlayStation games. Mm-hmm. Because I do have what's it called again? Talked about it earlier.
PS Now.
Now, that's it. And I mean, so that gives me, Uncharted, Infamous, trying to think of other big PlayStation specific titles, but anyways, you get my point. Like I have access to that back catalog now. So it's kind of the same thing without being the same thing. I don't actually own the games. Like as soon as I no longer subscribe to PlayStation Now, then they're gone, which kind of sucks. But
my understanding is that you'll be able to purchase Xbox 360 games on your Xbox One if you don't own them. So if you don't own the Mass Effect trilogy and you want to play it on your Xbox One, it'll probably cost you more money than it would to find it on an Origin sale or something. But it's nice that the gesture's there, that they're putting this work into adapting them, that they're going to be able to allow us to buy 360 games. And that's a big middle finger to Nintendo. I mean, I've always said Nintendo does backwards compatibility the best. I mean, I can download everything from NES to N64 games and hopefully soon GameCube games and Wii games for that matter. But the selection is so limited to the best hits or whatever. Like some cases, it's literally three Wii games that you can download. But Microsoft's like, no, we're going to start with 100. 100 mm-hmm. of the best 360 titles, and that should cover everything you ever want to play.
Yeah.
You know, you go past that 100, and it's like you're starting to get into the B
you're
titles.
You're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, you're scraping the bottom of the B barrel, man. You're not even in the first barrel. You're in the second barrel, right?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting premise, and I'm interested to find out how it works.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm really, really interested in, and it is probably one of the things that excited me the most, was during EA's conference, we got to see the first kind of big look at Mass Effect Andromeda.
Oh, so good.
Drool.
Yeah.
Like, and at first I was kind of like, okay, this is a Mass Effect trailer. Like, how am I not excited right now? Like, the first kind of 20 seconds where it's just like kind of still scene after still scene, and it's just like all these different environments and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I get it, yeah, you're bringing in new planets, new environments, whatever. Then you realize that it's actually like not Shepard, but a Shepard type character is like looking at these like holo screens and looking at vids and stuff, and then they pull to like the universe map and then go to warp speed, and I'm just like, guys, it's happening.
Yeah, and the tone I got from the trailer I really loved, because Mass Effect is a really well-written game, and sometimes the best-written stuff is the comedy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just thinking about the Garrus friendship mission is just, like...
Which I never got to do, still.
Right, because you did something terrible or something, I can't remember. I
can't remember what it was. I think it was just, I was rushing through so much, so it was like, do you want to go hang out with me and have a drink? And I was like... No, we have to save the universe. I have no time for your skeet shooting stuff.
Isn't it like, oh no, I've got to save the universe. And also we're recording a spoiler cast in about a week. And I told Ryan that I was going to beat this so we could do it. And it was a race. I think I ended up putting way too much time into that game in such a short amount of time.
You did like all the side things. Anyways, that's not the point.
That isn't the point. What are we talking about? Mass Effect Andromeda, it felt like the trailer felt very like comedic to me at the very beginning, and I liked the tone of it, and then it got somewhat serious without telling us why it was serious. And there's an accompanying blog post that BioWare put up saying that the main character is going to be a male or female human, and that the character we saw in the trailer is not the character you're playing. So what is happening in that trailer is explained through the story, and they're going to be unveiling new tidbits. And just think, like, that game is a year and a half away, and a year from now...
The saddest thing that happened to me this last week, let me tell you.
When did you
2016?
When did you want it? I mean, like,
2015.
Oh, you wouldn't have got it in 2015. That's wishful thinking. But I would have said maybe March 2016, which is why I joked that the last time they announced a Mass Effect game was going to be released holiday, on holiday, yeah. It got delayed to the March afterwards. So you're looking at March 2017 probably for this title.
Sad face.
I know. But hey, we're going to get a lot more information on Mass Effect Andromeda in the coming months, I'm sure. And I think there'll be a big story blowout, at the very least a story trailer, and give us more details at VGX or the Video Game Awards or whatever the hell they want to call it this year in December. But that's where we got our first Mass Effect 3 trailer. So
I am super, super stoked for it. I want it now. Just... when you saw, like, the Prothean stuff, like, rising out of the ground and, like...
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what the story's going to be. I know Shepard's not in it, but I'm just so excited to go back to that universe because the lore is so good.
Yeah,
like, they have so many cool time periods that they could possibly pull from if they're going back. They have just an infinite amount of possibilities if they're going forward. I just...
Supposedly,
man, it's so good.
It's far, far away, new galaxy, which is called Andromeda, and it's the future, the far future, so far away from the Mass Effect trilogy that they can legitimately have a game in the same universe ahead of and after the events of Mass Effect trilogy.
Oh, okay.
So it wouldn't be a BioWare game if they didn't at least touch upon previous games. So there's got to be some lore. I'm sure they picked a canon.
It's going to be so cool if it's some sort of like relic side quest, or like, you know, if the Reapers and everything that happened in Mass Effect like 1, 2, and 3 is somehow basically like the Protheans of Andromeda. Like, oh god, I'm making myself like freak out and get excited just like theory crafting what could be in this game.
Yeah, and James had a really good theory. And again, like I said, all the archives will be up. So if you want to relive the fantastical announcement of Mass Effect Andromeda and the way we reacted to it, that's already up on the feed. But James's theory was that it could be, you know, after the Reapers have attacked, the Reapers have been defeated, but or maybe the Reapers have taken over and you are a last bastion of human hope and you were sent to Andromeda to recolonate, right, and get away from the Reapers. I think the Reapers were sort of established as a galaxy-wide threat rather than a universe-wide threat, but I could be wrong. But I know BioWare will, you know...
you know, actually, Ryan, that's a really, really good point, because I'm just trying to remember. I know that they do talk about it on a galaxy level, but I definitely got the idea that, like, they were universe-wide. Because you travel from...
Well, you're always in the Milky Way.
From system to system, but yeah, you're always in the galaxy.
Yeah, and they show at, well, okay, spoilers, folks. At the end of Mass Effect 3, they kind of show all the relays exploding, and if the last bastion effort was to send off an Earth ship or whatever to, like, repopulate, that could explain the far, far away and the long time from now explanation, in the sense that it's so far removed because it took thousands of years for the ship to leave. Mm-hmm. And that would sort of be like, you know,
how to tie it together without.
Yeah, and it would be the human race.
Same time frame.
Yeah. Exactly. The human race gets away. And, you know.
Sorry, Blood Anubis in the chat room just totally got me. It's like, spoilers. The galaxy is on Orion's belt.
There's only
three stars, though, Ryan. There's only three stars. There's no galaxy on Orion's belt.
Really? Oh. I think he's making a Men in Black reference.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Which is where that line comes from.
That's, I don't know, but
Zed tells.
I thought you were making an actual Orion's belt reference in that there are three stars in Orion's belt.
Well, it is an actual... You know what? Never mind.
Are you actually just... Are you doing the agent...
I'm quoting the movie right now. I never do this. I know it's throwing you right off.
you were continuing the line. It's been so long. Yeah. Doesn't that movie end with, like, them playing marbles and then the marbles are the galaxies? Is that how that ends?
Pretty much.
Okay. Okay. But anyways, no, for Mass Effect, I think that the end could necessarily be like the Reapers are still a threat, but they're a threat over there somewhere and they've kind of gone dormant again, and maybe the humans, like, they feel like they tricked the Reapers and now it's like, oh, we tricked them. We're the human race survives, but now they got to survive, hence the Wild West theme and recolonization. And, you know, that would also explain the little, like, collar thing that guy has going on, which I don't care how stupid that is and how you can't explain it. It just looks badass. That's how you can tell you're in the Wild West, when you got a collar on your spacesuit. It's going to be great.
I'm so super stoked for that. Yeah. We also saw some multiplayer footage from Star Wars Battlefront, which actually got me a little bit excited. I wasn't at first. Like, I mean, I know Ryan was just playing super awesome co-host tonight and put links to all the trailers I needed to watch and bolded the ones that were really important.
Yep.
And he bolded the Star Wars one. So I was like, okay, I'll watch it. But, you know, like, I'm a Star Wars fan, but I'm not, like, crazy overboard like everybody else. Like, I'm excited for new Star Wars content, whatever, but I'm not all quotey the movie and where's my lightsaber and super hardcore.
You'll quote Star Men in Black,
Star Wars
but
is
not
my
Star
thing.
Wars.
Fantasy's my thing, not necessarily sci-fi as much. So anyways, I started watching it. I was like, okay, yeah, this is kind of cool. And then the further I got in, and I was just like, yeah, okay, this is pretty standard, you know, like, teams, shooting stuff, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to fast forward through this trailer a little bit. And then all of a sudden you're, like, flying a ship. And I was like, whoa, okay, I'm on board. This is now really cool.
Yeah, and it looks fantastic. And the game, I feel like we were discussing it. James is all in. Like, when this thing starts, he's, like, jumping up in his chair. He is the quintessential, like, Star Wars nerd having a nerd fit watching this game. And I was right, and it's infectious. We were talking about it and I'm hearing his reaction and I'm so excited for Star Wars Battlefront now. And I don't know what system I want to buy it on. PC's been thrown around a lot. Maybe it'll be PC, but I feel like it's one of those games where it's like, all right, where is everybody buying this? We need to play it. Keep in mind, on the PC we'll have to use Origin. Go. And
I am excited about it enough now that I've seen the trailer all the way through, and because it does look really cool. It feels like the next Mass Effect multiplayer. I feel like I would have a really, really great time sitting down with like you and Val and James and just, you know, killing shit in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is actually something I'm going to pick up. So I'm glad you made me watch it.
Yeah, well, you know, I sometimes I make you watch and do something and it doesn't pay off this time. Yes, it did. Best 1 out of 100. What is it? I just reminded of the Road to Halo 4. And I'm like so tempted. Just I got to be careful what links I throw at her. So no, Star Wars Battlefront is going to be a lot of fun and it looks great. And the fact that you get a lightsaber is going to be great. It's the chat again, room see, misbehaving. Like, what's going on? Chat room's fine.
Chat room's fine.
All right.
Just having a lightsaber is not enough to get me excited. And you know why that is? I feel like that is totally SWTOR's fault because I was just like, okay, you know what? I'm going to get behind this. I like MMOs. I'm going to, you know, it's going to be Star Wars. I'm going to get to go like bzz, bzz, with the lightsaber and huzzah. And then it wasn't really that great. Didn't suck me in. Plus there was all that paywall crap after they went free to play. And I was just like, yeah, no, okay, I'm done. No Star Wars games.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is very different. They did announce a Star Wars expansion for SWTOR, but it's like, at that point, that game's not for me and not for you, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just wanted to remind everybody that Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code TheGamersIn to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. So next we had Ubisoft with an announcement of a game that I am really excited about. You didn't bold it, but there was no way that I couldn't watch this trailer. Although I've got to say,
because I knew you'd watch it. I didn't feel it was worth making you watch it because then I'd have to unbolt something else.
Oh, man. But I definitely felt like by the end of it, I was kind of like meh. Because at the beginning, so we're talking about Stick of Truth 2. And at the beginning, it's like all Lord of the Ringsy, and it's like doing a parody of like the opening of Fellowship. And I'm so excited. And then there's like, you know, the Stick of Truth is back. They're all dressed up like wizards and elves and stuff like they were in the first game. And I'm so excited. And then they get to the confrontation with Butters, who is like my favorite character ever of anything ever. And he calls them superheroes. And then Cartman goes, oh, yeah, we've got the wrong game. And then they go and change into superhero costumes. And Stick of Truth 2 is actually about superheroes, not about fantasy. So that was a little bit of a letdown for me because I just... Like I've mentioned already on the show tonight, I'm such a fantasy nerd. Like I love, love, love fantasy things. Even when it's done in this stupid cartoony South Park way, it's just like so my realm of awesome. And so yeah, to go to superheroes, I mean, obviously superheroes are really, really popular right now. It totally makes sense. Like South Park is so much of like a up on current events, trends, all that kind of stuff. Like they do the show like 2 weeks in advance or some stupid crazy thing like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I totally understand where they're coming from, but I'm a little bit upset with the departure from what they did in the first game.
Yeah. It's also a new developer as well. It's being developed by an Ubisoft internal studio. I don't know which city it's from. I think it might be San Francisco. So it's not Obsidian again this time, which is also kind of a letdown, but you know what, it's one of those things where it's you gotta have to kind of see what it's like, right? Just because they've changed the theme and setting doesn't mean that they're going to change up the combat. It might just be literally the same combat with a new...
Well, but they did say in the trailer they make reference to the fact that the combat sucked.
Oh, well, I don't know, maybe.
And they're like, yeah, the combat sucked and we're not settling for less than a 9.5 on GameSpot or something like that.
Oh, weird.
And so yeah, I was just kind of like, oh yeah, so that makes me think that they're mixing it up, but then again, maybe they're not. Maybe that's just a red herring type thing, but who knows, who knows. But I am excited for more South Park because I'm probably going straight to hell, but I really like that game. It's one of those just stupid fun, kind of smart in at some points and way, way, way too vulgar in others, but overall just such a good game.
It's a lot of fun. It's interesting. It's really interesting that they're doing a sequel so soon, which makes sense because they actually brought during the conference, they brought the creators of South Park on And the first thing they do is make fun of the mics that they have, which are those weird, like, you know, fuzzball mics.
Yeah.
And then they also say, like, we had such a terrible time making the first one, but by the end of it, we kind of knew what we were doing, so we decided to do it again.
Well, and that's kind of what worries me, or I guess why I don't want to get too excited about Stick of Truth 2, which is, what's it called? I can't even remember what it's called.
Fractured Butthole, or the Fractured Butthole Stick, or something.
Something like that. So anyways, the next Stick of Truth, the reason I'm not so excited about it is because Stick of Truth was delayed so much, and they had so many problems in the first time around that I'm kind of just like, okay, I'll get excited about you, like, the week before launch.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, and it's a 2016 game. A lot of these games we've been talking about are 2016, mm-hmm. You know, with the exceptions of Halo 5. A lot of Microsoft stuff was 2015. EA was kind of shooting far and fast away, but Ubisoft, a lot of their conference was guns and Tom Clancy, and I don't know about you, but every time I'd keep making comments in the conference to James, like, man, another game with guns, like, what is going on? This is all this. They literally showed The Division for the third year in a row, and then they announce another The Division game. It's basically the same thing, except in the post-apocalyptic, it's set in, like, Breaking Bad or something. It's what's going on, Ubisoft?
They're probably post-apocalyptic Breaking Bad?
No. Post-apocalyptic is The Division. I think it's called, like, Tom Clancy's Squadron Wild Zones or something, and it's like set in, like, a drug cartel, like, Albuquerque type desert scenario.
Oh, okay. So two totally different things. Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. But what they did announce was probably the first great new IP of the show, which was For Honor, which is this, like, multiplayer. Well, what they showed was multiplayer. It's like the multiplayer medieval combat with knights and samurai, and I think there was one other faction in there, but it looked really cool. Did you end up seeing any of that?
I watched the trailer. I skipped through a little bit of it just because I was kind of like, I would rather trailers, even though it's really cool to see gameplay. Mm-hmm. I like to know if I'm going to be excited about a game or not. I would really like some sort of, like, overarching, like, idea of what the game is. As cool as it is to see people hacking at each other with swords, because the combat did look really cool, and they went into a little bit, and we're talking about, you know, like, you can choose what side even that you're blocking and moving, and, like, it seemed like really, really interactive and kind of complex combat, which was really interesting. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm just kind of like, okay, so is this multiplayer only? Is there single player? Is there story? Is there lore? Like, why are these knights fighting these samurai? You know, like, I don't know. I need more before I get excited, I guess. Yeah.
There was no story to speak of. It was just literally showing, like, the multiplayer aspect of it. And Josh is saying to me, Vikings is the other faction. And it looked like a lot of fun, but I agree with you as well. Like, it's nice to have some story, so hopefully there'll be some campaign. And I did want to mention, when I was talking about being all the gun games, Canalgrin in the chat room was saying, America, Ryan, America. The funny thing is, Ubisoft is a French-European developer, mainly. And most of those games that you saw there were either developed in Toronto or Montreal.
Oh, cool.
Right,
Ubisoft Montreal is huge up here.
Yeah, I think The Division was Montreal. I'm not sure.
Muffin Madness in the chat room is confirming that, yeah, there is a campaign. So that'll be kind of interesting to somehow start to understand how these different factions might be kind of fighting against each other. I guess they're kind of contemporary to each other in, like, actual history. No, I guess Vikings were way before. I guess it kind of went Vikings, samurai, knights. So maybe, forget what I'm saying.
It's like an Encino Man wrong scenario where, like, the Vikings were stuck in ice, and then Sean Astin, knight, Sir Sean Astin, let's say, has to, like, thaw them, and then they listen to some 90s music, and, you know, it's a hit movie with,
and all's right with the room. Yeah. All's right with the world.
Then they find a biodome. What movie are we describing? I don't know.
I don't even know.
But yeah,
so kind of, it could be interesting. I'd like to see more before I get super stoked about For Honor. One thing that I'm totally not stoked about, and I don't know why everyone was going crazy, is The Last Guardian. I watched that, and I was like, what the hell is this? And I was talking to Faramir at the same time. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, there's that one part where the big pet thing has already jumped across, and then like the kid tries to jump, and I'm like, this would be a much cooler game if the kid just fell.
That's
just like, I'm a terrible person. I'm a terrible person. I don't know.
You don't think? Okay, I think
it's like, this is some like really, really lame tale of friendship or something.
It's not. It is a tale of friendship. I don't think it's lame. I mean, one of those things is gonna die at the end of the game. We know that much.
Oh, do we?
Oh well, come on. Like, they're not.
I guess that's.
The reason it's got a lot of hype because there's a history behind it. The game is being made by the team, or the original team behind Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. Some very highly regarded Japanese games.
Room's just catching up now.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right, guys. Just calm down. Let us finish talking about Last Guardian. And the reason it's so big is because it was shown in 2009 as the next title from this studio on the PS3, and then disappeared. And every year they'd be like, "Where's the Last Guardian? Where's the Last Guardian?" There'd be news coming out that the team's directors left, the teams left, and then now in 2015 we're finally getting it reintroduced to us. And the story is, in 2012 they switched to PS4 because they had a lot of technical difficulties. I look at this game, and it's exciting that it's actually going to happen and people are going to get to play this game. One thing that kind of threw me off was the fact that it kind of looked like an up-resed last gen game. You know. Didn't look like what a PS4 title could do. No, it didn't look
finished at all. Like, I literally thought this was, like, very, very first look, and, you know, like, but is that actually what the game is going to look like?
Yeah, that's what the game's going to look like, and to me, I looked at that, and I thought, that looks like it did 6 years ago, and at this point, you know, get the game out. It's been in development for 8 years. Let's get it out there. Let's get it into the hands of the public and move on.
But, I feel like I need to clarify my statement a little bit, because chat room's going a little bit crazy.
Why? What did you do?
Well, because of my comment about the kid. And I just want to say, like, basically, that by the time that scene happened where he makes the big, huge jump.
Yeah, at the very end of the trailer.
I was so bored. And so I thought what it was going to be is, like, him jumping, and the, like, I thought this was, like, gonna be the big thing, was now you were gonna play as this bird dog thing and have to go find your friend who fell in the chasm or something. Like, I thought that was the big hook of the game, of like, oh my god, you got so attached to this kid in this trailer and now he fell and you have to go, like, rescue him or whatever. And no, it was just like telling you what was going on, like telling you that you could jump wide crevices and your pet would catch you. And I was just like, I literally, like, turned off the trailer after that.
And you know what? It's not for everybody. To me, it's exciting because we're going to get it. I never got into Ico. I never got into Shadow of the Colossus. I respect them as games. Not to say that Jocelyn doesn't respect them as games. She just, for some reason, like, I agree with you. At the very end of that trailer, you're wondering, like, oh, that monster's totally going to let that kid die. Oh, no, wait. Epic, he's using his tail to grab him, but like, it just looks like a really good time, and guaranteed if you play through it, you're probably gonna shed a tear. I mean, I could feel it just the way they're trying to, like, go across that game. But speaking of games that have been long awaited, Sony had three announcements that were like, guess what, you've been waiting X amount of years, but it's finally gonna happen. And we'll quickly touch on Shenmue 3 getting a Kickstarter announced and launched at the show. I didn't put this in the notes, but Shenmue is like this Dreamcast franchise, and they did 1 and 2, and it's a Sega game, so obviously it tanked because Sega doesn't know how to market their titles. So now, like, 10 years later, they're gonna make another one. They brought the director on stage, and they counted down, literally, 3, 2, 1, go to our Kickstarter and give us money. It was kind of weird.
That is weird. Now, see, all of these things that I saw little bits and pieces of on Twitter are now starting to make sense, because I definitely saw people talking about, like, Sony and Kickstarter and all that kind of stuff, and I was just like, what are they talking about? Sony's running a Kickstarter? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, the Kickstarter is being run by the director of the game, and Sony is a partner with him, so they're trying to get the start funding to see how much they can get. And it did literally crash Kickstarter when it started. I didn't think that I could ever see Kickstarter go down like that, but they brought it to its knees. Huh. And it was, you know, it, again, I not a big Shenmue fan, never played it, but I respect the fact that a lot of people are excited.
So is it a remake, or is it like the next game in the like series, or
it's the next game? Yeah.
Oh, so okay. So at least it's not just we're gonna reskin this and make it work sort of thing. So that's all right then.
Yeah. It's you know what, and this isn't the first
I'll
time.
I'll allow it.
Yeah, you allow it. Jocelyn will allow kid killing and Shenmue 3. You heard it here, folks, on the Gamers Inn, folks. It's a game that it's not the first that this has happened. I mean, Inafune did it with Mighty Number 9, and the fact that he couldn't get his Mega Man games funded. The same thing happened with the Castlevania guy. He couldn't get his Castlevania games greenlit at Konami, so he left and made his own game through Kickstarter. And it's just a model that works to convince publishers that there is money in them, their hills. Which brings us to our next long-awaited announcement, which was the Final Fantasy VII remake. We're finally getting it. People have been asking, begging, writing angry emails for years.
Yeah, there have been 15 Final Fantasy games? I think
15 plus. There's a lot of spin-offs, there's a lot of expansions, right. There's like 3 13s.
So what makes Final Fantasy VII so, I guess, special? Like, why remake this one specifically?
You're gonna love it because it has kids dying in it. So no, I'm just joking.
So clearly I'm totally on board as long as there's kids dying.
That could somewhat be a spoiler, Ryan. But that could also be me just twisting your words. Final Fantasy VII is regarded as the best Final Fantasy, and I think that's really because of the shift from the Super NES to the PlayStation. This was the first polygon 3D Final Fantasy game, and the story's really good, and the characters are really well written. It's got a great twist ending. It's just overall, it was very well received, and it's kind of like a lot of people's favorites. And we're at the point now where there are people like our age who this was their first Japanese RPG that they really loved. And people in the chat room are saying that Final Fantasy VI is the best. I don't know. I've never played a Final Fantasy game all the way through, so I'm not the guy to ask. But no, Final Fantasy VII Remake is just a highly regarded iteration, probably the best iteration. And the funny thing is that Square Enix has gone on record saying that if they made a Final Fantasy VII, that would mean that their current Final Fantasy games aren't doing well. You know, to go back to the well that was so well received would sort of be seen as a failure in their eyes. So
are they basically telling us that they're failing? Is that what's happening right now?
They don't have to tell us that. We know it's happening. I mean, Final Fantasy XIII, it was not very well regarded, and they're not the same Final Fantasy games that we know and love. But Final Fantasy XIV has been doing well for itself, but only after they...
Which is the one? Isn't there one that's like an MMO or something?
Yeah, that's 14.
That's 14? Okay. For some reason, I thought that was 15. I don't know. See, there's too damn many of them.
Oh, Muffin Madness is correcting me. Thank you. They said that they wouldn't do another one until a Final Fantasy surpasses the quality of Final Fantasy VII. Well, that hasn't happened. So whatever they said, they lied. Or Sony paid them a bunch of money. And the fact that, hey, maybe Final Fantasy 15 will be better than 7. And I think 15 will come out before this remake, because really the trailer was literally just a CG trailer. Mm. It's not anywhere near being released.
They always suck me in with those CG trailers.
Yeah, which, I mean, and we can talk a bit more about that later with Nintendo's announcements, but Sony continued with theirs announcing... I mean, let's talk about their new IP, Horizon Zero Dawn. I figured you'd like this. Did you like it?
I was going to say, this actually, at first I was kind of like, eh. And then kind of as it went on and more was revealed, I was like, oh, mm-hmm. All right. This is actually pretty cool. And then some of the combat they showed was intense. And I really like... I just... The whole thing was really, really cool. I was surprised.
Yeah.
Usually when you get, like... Because basically, if you guys haven't watched it, you should go watch it now. But you basically have, like, kind of hunterish type humans. Very kind of, like, primitive, primal, live-off-the-land-looking type humans. and then like all of the animals are robots. Mm-hmm. And so you have this kind of, usually when you get super crazy tech futuristic robot things, it's in like a super crazy futuristic tech type world. So it was cool to see that, you know, kind of primal primitive jungle type land mixed with robot animals, mixed with humans that looked like, you know, old humans with like cool techie bows and stuff. Like, it was this really, really cool mix of stuff. And yeah. I liked it a lot. I was pretty excited.
Oh yeah, I'm glad, because when I saw that, I was like, this is my pick for the show. Like, this is my favorite thing from the show. And Mass Effect was great. Mass Effect was awesome, but at least Horizon Zero Dawn gave us gameplay, gave us something to be like, oh, this is what this game could play like. It had UI, it had mechanics, there were things dropping off the enemies that you were picking up. So to me, it felt like a game that I'm going to, like, that's the game I'm going to get to experience. Whereas with Mass Effect, it was a promise and a really cool setup. Mm-hmm. If not, maybe a strong tie. Like, if we had to give it, maybe Horizon's got the edge. But it's such an interesting premise in that it's far flung in the future after, like, the lights go out and Earth is sort of taken back over. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we're sent back into the primitive age, which is something, a theory people have, that if there ever was an electronic shutdown, that's how it would go, right? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to see that maybe there's some third force out there that is kind of allowing these machines to take over, right?
Yeah. And, I'm fully on board with this. I think it looks great. I also thought it was really cool that they were saying, like, it was actually captured from a PS4. Like, that's how it plays. That's the speed it plays at. There's no chugging. That's what the graphics look like. Like, all of that was really interesting. It was full on, like, not only gameplay footage, but gameplay footage from, you know, the tech that you've got sitting in your living room, as opposed to this super crazy, you know, like, top of the everything PC build that we have just specifically to play this on stage. It's like, no, literally, like, this thing you have in your living room, this is what this game's going to look like on it. So I thought that was a really cool touch.
That's why people love consoles. That's why I love consoles. I feel like watching this trailer, I can go in about a year's time, pick up the disc, put it in my system, and play it. I don't have to worry about what video card am I going to need in the far-flung future.
Which is something that I'm totally struggling with right now with my PC. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not stacking up against these new games. Like, I need to start upgrading stuff, which is just a pain in the ass. And I'm just like, oh, man, maybe I'll just start buying stuff. And this is what always happens to me in the console cycle, is usually I start off as, you know, PC, 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 and then, you know, a few years goes by and finally I'm just like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I have to upgrade crap now and blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to get it on whatever console I've got at the time. So you're probably going to see me start to buy a lot more stuff on console.
Cool. You know what? I love the console. PS4 is great. They wrapped up the show with No Man's Sky again. No release date. The game still looks great, but when are they going to tell us when it's coming out?
Yeah.
Then Uncharted 4, which was more Uncharted 4, and I can't wait. But again, it was just more Uncharted 4. Not really much to talk about.
Yeah.
So
Nintendo.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
Okay. Last year was a big year for Nintendo, and this year was, at first, if you go back, I'm going to put up the Nintendo archive probably tonight, and you'll sense a real sense of disappointment in James and I's reactions to what Nintendo was announcing, because it started off pretty strong with Star Fox Zero. I like the idea of Star Fox, and the game looks like a lot of fun, but you start to notice that a lot of people are commenting on the graphics of it. It doesn't look so hot, and that's because the way they've set it up is on the gamepad, you have their cockpit view and you're aiming like this and shooting. So if you're watching the video, you can see me acting like an idiot. And then on the screen you have your ship and he's shooting and it looks great, but I've played Wii U games where I'm focusing on the tablet, and what happens is when you're focusing on the tablet, you're not focusing on the TV, so you're missing out on the best thing. And the reason the graphics are not quite up to par and they don't quite look like Mario Kart or Smash could be because they're pushing a lot of those pixels and processing power on the gamepad, right?
Yeah.
But I'll play it. I'm excited. They had a couple of other announcements. Did you watch any of Nintendo stuff I should ask first?
No.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
No, like I said, like I, because of work and other commitments, I completely and utterly missed E3, so.
Yeah, but the thing is, and that's totally cool, because it serves my point in that Nintendo had a job to do at E3. I've seen a lot of people coming to their defense saying, like, what are you talking about? They announced games that I'm excited about. They announced this Animal Crossing party game. And they show off, like, and here's Animal Crossing. Then it turns out to be Mario Party with an Animal Crossing skin and amiibo support. And that's not what people want. That's not going to sell the console to people who already have it. All the people defending Nintendo were those that own the Wii U, therefore not getting Nintendo any new customers. Mm-hmm. But some of the stuff they showed, like the Nintendo World Championship, which was on Sunday, and also the Smash DLC, which was on Sunday, was really cool and would help me convince others to buy a Wii U. Like, Mario Maker looks like a lot of fun. It's basically like, just imagine all the old Mario platformers, infinite amount of levels, built by some of the, you know, the most fun designers, but also some of the most sadistic designers. Like, they were showing off fun levels and levels that would make you tear your hair out.
Can you, can the community make their own levels? Because that's where I find games tend to shine, is when you can get in there and make your own stuff. Like, as awesome as a lot of these companies are, like, you just can't beat, like, the hive mind of the internet.
Yeah, so basically you can get levels designed from Nintendo. I can get levels designed from you. You can get levels designed by me. We could have a Gamers In competition who can design the Mario level that Ryan can't beat. And that's a thing we can do. And that's a lot of fun to me. And the look of the game is really cool. They've actually taken, because you can play, you can set your world and you can change on the fly, I think. You can change your, or no, maybe you can't change on the fly, but anyways, there's four worlds you can choose from. You got Mario Brothers, the first one, Mario 3, Super Mario World, and then Super Mario U or something. And those are the four looks and feels with physics unique to each of them. And so I could build a Mario level, I could build a Wii U Mario level, and I can share that with people. And it's just, it looks like a lot of fun. And that if you want to watch some cool design work on that, definitely check out the Nintendo World Championships, because they built games or built levels, and that was their last level of the championship, who could beat those levels the fastest. But other than that, all the other announcements sort of fell flat. There was a lot of like mini game collections. They announced a new Metroid Prime, but it was a mini game collection on the 3DS. You know, it's
well, just, and that's the thing. Know. I saw Zelda in here, and I got super excited. And then I was like, "Wait a minute, Triforce Heroes!" And I started watching it, and I'm like, "Oh, it's 3DS." Like, I just
again,
so it's not hyped. Like, I wanted more of the actual Zelda game that we're supposed to be getting. Like,
yeah, it's really unfortunate. And Nintendo even said it in their direct that this is a year of transformation for Nintendo. And to me, when you say that, you don't sugarcoat it. You don't say this is a year of transformation and that 2016 is going to be better. You say this is a year of transformation, which is why you're noticing not a lot of like tentpole franchises, right? You're noticing a lot of shortcuts. No, maybe not shortcuts. That's a little negative, but it's a lot of like smaller experiences. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not getting an Animal Crossing.
They're buying time.
Yeah, they're biding their time, right? Until, not necessarily till NX, but until they have more time to develop these titles. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some people comment, it's like, oh, you know, the Nintendo digital event wasn't as great because they spread their announcements out over the course of the year with their Nintendo Directs. But there really hasn't been anything announced crazy in the last 6 months from Nintendo. So
yeah, that's true.
That argument falls flat.
I mean, I can kind of see it, though, because they do have more events throughout the year. It's not like E3 is their only time to do these big, huge announcements. So I can see that. But at the same time, you're right. Like, we haven't seen anything lately. They're pulling what the Leafs do every freaking year. It's a rebuilding year, guys. Don't worry. We'll be back next year, bigger and better.
Yeah.
And then they fail hard every time.
But none of the titles announced are titles that I can point to and say, like, look, you need to buy a Wii U now. Like, last year was that year. Like, it was Splatoon. True. It was Mario Kart. It was Smash
Brothers. Which is so funny. Like, why do they need to rebuild after that? You would think that with such strong titles. And I mean, I'm one of the people who still hasn't bought a Wii U, even though, you know, I want to try Splatoon, I want to try Mario Kart, and I have played Mario Kart, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, there are titles I want to play, like I would have bought in a second if I already owned the console, but wasn't enough to kind of push me over the edge there. Yeah. And so I'm just like, why wouldn't you keep capitalizing on that? Like, 3DS is falling a little bit more behind. Like, the Wii U seemed to finally be getting some momentum, and then now it's just kind of like everything is meh from Nintendo. Like, why wouldn't you just keep pushing? Like, pull everyone off everything and get them on Zelda and get that in my hands, because that'll be what makes me get the console is Zelda. So,
but the thing is, like, now that Zelda's pushed so far into 2016, like, are people going to go out and buy a Wii U knowing that they are going to talk about NX in 2016?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah. So okay. we don't know what NX is. It could be something that does not replace the Wii U. It could be something we don't know anything about, and we won't know until next year.
Yeah.
But that confusion causes people to make decisions.
Any company other than Nintendo, I would say, well, obviously the NX is going to replace the Wii U. But I will say that Nintendo seems to be the most innovative of any of the big companies. They're always trying new things. So I would say that, yeah, there's a chance that NX isn't actually just their next gen console. It might be some sort of addition to the Wii U, something, some new piece of tech that complements it, plugs in somehow, enhances the experience, like something. And that could be really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm the first to say I hate all their gimmicks. I hate motion control. Like, I hate it with a fiery, fiery passion. I just want to sit on my couch and push buttons.
Yep.
But they definitely are innovative, and they push the envelope more than I think some of the other companies. So some of the other companies play really, really safe in a lot of ways. So I can see NX maybe potentially not being another full-on system from Nintendo, and I think I'd be okay with that. But I am interested to see more, and I won't be doing anything crazy until we actually see what's coming from Nintendo.
Yeah, I had a few people who were talking to me before this, James included, about saying, oh, I want to get a Wii U. And I'm like, just wait till after E3, because you want to know what's coming out in the next year. Mm-hmm. I don't want you, like, blasting through Mario Kart and Splatoon and then getting angry emails, right? And I even tweeted, like, I'm glad I waited. I mean, I'm excited for some select titles. You know, Star Fox looks great. Yoshi's Woolly World might get my attention.
There seemed to be a lot of yarn at E3 this year.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about Yarny. Oh, man. Yarny looks so cool. I forgot about that. But, no, and then I included the Zelda Triforce Heroes because it's the 3DS engine of Link Between Worlds, but we can play Zelda across the internet.
Ah.
Doesn't that sound cool?
That does sound cool.
And I can dress up as Zelda.
But do you know the other thing that we could totally play across the internet?
What?
Animal Crossing. You know that thing that you didn't play with me across the internet?
Mario Golf.
That too?
But you know what we could do is we could buy the game at the same time, thus ensuring that we're both actively playing it.
Yeah. I already know how this is going to go down.
No, if you do what I say,
I'm not buying it.
It would be fine. Ignatium will play with you.
All right.
Ignatium is saying, like, we got to do this. It's on a long list of announcements from this year from Nintendo that it's not what people wanted, therefore it's immediately a bad thing, which
is exactly what happened with the Tavern Brawl announcement, by the way.
Oh yeah,
it's not what people wanted, so therefore it's bad.
Yeah, and I mean I can somewhat see that, but it's like, you know, your opinion is your opinion, but you shouldn't put down a game just because it's not what you wanted. Like, and I am first and foremost guilty of that, especially when I was watching the Nintendo Direct. It's like, this isn't the Metroid game that we want. We want a Metroid-specific game, but instead we're getting a minigame collection. And that's made by some developers that I actually really like, Next Level Games. Like, they made that Luigi's Mansion game, and this game could be great, but it's got Metroid Prime attached to it, and it's not Metroid Prime. Yeah. So it sets people off.
Mm-hmm. And so the last thing, which came from the PC show, which you've already kind of talked about, we don't have to go into it again. We talked about it off the top of the show. But this, I think, is the thing that I am most excited about, which is probably not the best, just because, like, I mean, there were a lot of really cool things announced at E3, outside of even the franchises we're familiar with, but this got me so excited. And I mean, we knew that it was coming soon-ish anyway. I mean, as soon as you can possibly get soon TM. Mm-hmm. But the Legacy of the Void, getting three prologue missions that we're going to be able to play, beta July 2015. I can't wait to get into StarCraft 2 and start mm-hmm. playing these missions, getting this story. Legacy of the Void is going to be so good. It's the final chapter in StarCraft 2. It's based around Protoss. Oh, God. Like, I can't wait. I want it so bad. It hurts.
Yeah. And the trailer that they had was really cool and felt like, no way, this is all from the prologue, but the prologue could be setting up a lot of the events that are taking place in this trailer. And I understand why you're most excited. It's why I was slightly more excited about Horizon over Mass Effect, and that's because I'm going to get to experience it sooner. The date attached to the trailer is July 2015 beta, and to me, that says we're all going to get to try the prologue missions in a month.
I know. Like, and I mean, that's the other crazy thing that I kind of can't wrap my head around right now is, like, July is, like, now. Like, yeah. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be in July. So we could literally be as soon as, like, July 1st, which happens 2 weeks from today, actually, yeah. Literally. We could be playing StarCraft 2 story missions. Like, gah!
Yeah. And
happy
beta,
birthday to me!
Exactly. And beta, to me, seems like a good sure sign that we're going to be playing this game holiday 2015.
Yeah, and I really think that if they're going to announce beta, it's probably an open beta.
Yeah, I would hope so. That
I would think so. Like, putting it on the trailer like that, it seems very much like everyone's going to get a shot to play these prologue missions. And, I mean, the more people in a game like StarCraft, the more people get playing it, the better, because balance issues, they start to crop up really, really quickly the more people you have playing. And you want to get all that because, I mean, StarCraft is such a big esport, or has been previously. It's kind of fallen off a little bit, but that's a whole other thing. But I feel like balance issues, the faster you can get them and get them worked out, the faster you can get the game out. So I feel like they might go pretty quickly in open beta, because right now it's in alpha. It's a lot of fun in alpha. Archon mode is awesome. We've talked about that before, but I think we'll probably see something pretty open pretty quickly.
Yeah. I'm excited. And you know what? For a game that we didn't think was approaching Half-Life 3 or Half-Life 2 Episode 3 scenario of Legacy of the Void being not coming out ever, it's nice to know that we're going to be actually getting this gesture of here's three prologue missions. And Josh in the chat room was saying, I wonder if it's going to be beta or the tutorial. And it's like, it may be the tutorial, but I think more so it'll be just tying Heart of the Swarm to the start of Legacy of the Void, because it always felt like those trailers that they showed at BlizzCon felt like we were missing a piece, you know? Mm-hmm. So it'll be good to get that bridge.
Yeah. Josh is saying too soon for open beta in StarCraft. It might be. It feels a little bit soon. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not like Overwatch. It's an expansion. They want a lot of people in playing it. I don't really think that they got that many people. It doesn't feel like very many people are playing in the alpha right now. I feel like they might open it up just to get people excited about StarCraft again. I'm super excited, but I am the vast minority. There are a lot of people that, like, fell right off of that game. So
yeah.
To get the bodies in there to do the testing, I think they might open it up. I'll be interested to see anyways what happens.
Blizzard's a new company. When Heart of the Swarm
they're making a lot of sorry, Ryan, didn't mean to cut you off there, but they are making a lot of decisions that past Blizzard wouldn't have. And I feel like that kind of started with Hearthstone. You know, they had that such a small team, and then the game exploded, and then, you know, they kind of revamped and poured a lot of into Heroes, and now that's doing really well. And they're doing things a whole lot differently in each iteration. So it'll be interesting to see what they actually do with this. And sorry, you were going to say Heart of the Swarm?
Well, I was just saying that Blizzard's a new company now, and that when Heart of the Swarm was coming out, it was a very closed beta, and I think they opened it up a week before the game actually launched. Nowadays, I wouldn't be surprised to see Legacy of the Void's beta go open much sooner, or at least a more open closed beta, because by the time Heroes of the Storm, that was a closed beta right up until like end of May, and it launched in June.
Technically, but you could pay like $30, get the hero packs, and get access to the beta. So I mean,
but even before that, it was more wide open. It was the most open closed beta I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was like it was gated. I guess is a better fully closed, but not fully open, as in anyone could play. So we might see something like that with StarCraft, but probably not because it's not a free to play model. So, it does seem like they're moving to betas quicker. I don't know. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff at Blizzard. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had a more open approach to StarCraft because of the hype and because of the balance. Be interesting to see anyway what happens in 2 freaking weeks.
Yeah, July around the corner.
Yeah. Well, I guess not take, just give. 2 to 6 weeks. There we go.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, not to swing back to Nintendo, but if you didn't watch the Direct, they had Muppets. Basically, they had puppet executives. I'm sure you've seen the animated GIFs. I just found out that they were made by Jim Henson Company. That's pretty rad.
Of course they were.
Well, I didn't know that. I think that's really cool. But yeah, anyways, those puppets were probably one of the coolest things that Nintendo had in their Direct. And that's just a company having fun. Who would have known, right?
Yeah. All right, so if you want to show off your TGI pride, you can do so by heading over to slashloot.com. That is slashloot.com to grab yourself a Gamers in T-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts from all your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent Think Tank, Zombies Ain't My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com to show off your podcast pride. That brings us pretty much to the end of our show. We have a couple of emails here, which I think we're probably going to save for next week. Ryan, you put them in here. Is anything time sensitive?
No, we're good.
Okay, so yeah, I think we'll save them for next week because we are running way super long tonight. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll save these for next week. But we did want to thank Jan E., who is our patron of the week this week, and wanted to remind everyone that our Patreon hangout is going to be tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. And so that runs right into game night, so you'll have 3 super awesome hours of us tomorrow. You'll have 1 hour to kind of sit in the chat room, ask us questions, and then we'll play 2 hours of are we doing Depth tomorrow? Is that what's happening?
I don't know. Did we pick up Depth? Did it go back on sale? I thought I told you to wait till it goes back on sale.
You did tell me to wait till it goes back on sale, but I'm really excited for Depth. I think it's going to be super fun, and the more I look at it, the more I'm just like, yes, please.
I think it technically is on sale now. I don't know what the big difference is between now and
before. I don't want to open up Steam because it'll probably like just totally kill the stream. So
don't want to kill the stream. We're almost done. But yeah, no. I think game night. The post will be going up on Patreon just after the show here. I'll get it up there, and it'll have all the details on game night and our Patreon hangout. And I don't know what else. What else? Maybe just a quick thank you. I don't know. Maybe we'll throw that in there as well if you're good.
So if you'd like to be a patron of The Gamers Inn, you can do so by going to patreon.com/TheGamersInn. And we would like to thank each and every one of our fantastic patrons because you make things possible, like our hangouts and our game nights. So thank you very much. Looking forward to tomorrow night. It's going to be so, so much fun. And I've got to say, I don't know about you, Ryan, but this whole Wednesday night recording at 7 o'clock, so much better than recording at 9:30 on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good, and you know, it turns my Wednesday, Thursday into podcast days.
Yeah.
You know, so right after this, I'm going to go take a quick break, and then right after that, you can come back to Alpha Geek Radio and listen to Zombies Ate My Podcast on Channel 1 at 9:30, so in an hour. It's going to be great. We're talking about E3.
Again. Oh, okay. I was going to say, are you going to talk about Game of Thrones? Because, I mean, you could kind of say that the White Walker-y dudes, there's zombies going on there.
I don't know if the guys are caught up with Game of Thrones. Okay. I'm caught
up. And, I mean, no spoilers or anything. No. Everyone knows that White Walkers are undeady type people, so I was just curious.
I just remembered that I had watched that, and I probably should say something after this, after we hang up from Alpha Geek. But, no, we're going to be talking about E3. There was some zombie announcements at E3, and we're going to talk about that.
I'm glad that you didn't put them in the show notes.
They weren't.
There's megaton. Very few zombie things that I get behind.
Yeah, there was no megaton zombie announcements at E3, but there's enough there for us to geek out about. So cool. Looking forward to it.
Very, very cool. So that brings us to the end of the show. If you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV, along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you're totally stoked about from E3, you can do so by emailing info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.